What's going on, Liam?
Nothing much.
Nice, nice. Where are you located out of?
I'm in Las Vegas.
Vegas? Oh, you were not too far from us. We're in Arizona.
Where in Arizona?
Right outside of Scottsdale, like 15 minutes out. Phoenix, basically.
Yeah, that's the only hotter place I've been than Vegas.
It's about the two hottest places.
It's brutal, man.
I'm getting used to it. I just sit at home during the summer and sit in AC.
Yeah, I mean, I do that here too, but it's still just...
still warm.
He finds a way.
Yeah, it does. I know. I feel like we lower the AC all day, and it's like, it's still getting hot somehow. I love it.
This is the Sports on Tap Brothers podcast. George and Sammy want you to always remember, sports are fun. Let's rock.
Well, I guess let's get started off by, Liam, if you want to tell the people who you are, what you do, we know you, but for the audience.
Liam Blutman. I run No Context CFB. Off that, started the Transfer Portal CFB, which is more just, I don't know, regular college football content, talk about players, teams, etc. But try and do it in a unique way, not just talk about the Georgias, the Alabamas, actually get, you know, Ohio in there and Buffalo and Troy, etc. James Madison. Try and do that more, but yeah, No Context CFB, started that in 2018 if you're unfamiliar with the account. Had no expectations for it. It was just an excuse for me, like, yo, now I could really watch college football all day and have no worries. Like, this is, let's dedicate my entire Saturday to this. I ain't game day. This is my job now. We're chilling. And yeah, it turned into what it is now, which is a pretty successful page that keeps growing, and it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I'd say you're one of the biggest college football pages out there, outside of like the ESPNs, the Fox College Football. Like, independently, you might be the biggest one right now that I know, at least.
I appreciate that. I don't know all the numbers of other people and stuff, but you know, all I try and do is make people laugh and also just educate them on the game, who's good and everything, players that aren't being talked about, etc. So I'm happy that I bring good value there.
Yeah, it's actually one of the few accounts that I have post notifications on for. Oh, really? Because yeah, because there's, it's, and this is kind of, I'm going to ask a question out of this, because I wonder, how are you figuring out all these things happening on Saturday? Are you watching 50 games? Or are you like paying attention to what other accounts are posting while also watching games? Like, I'm assuming it's somewhat of a mix, but there are certain things where it like happens in the Mountain West at like, you know, like whatever, randomly at 10:35 in the morning. And I'm like, there's no way he's watching this game right now.
Well, I'm watching it. Okay. So like straight up, last season, if I'm not mistaken, or two seasons ago. So I'd say from 2018 to 2020, I was only working with one TV and a phone. So I only had one TV on. I was only watching one game. I was only able, and I'd have to like switch the TV to go to another game. And so, like, then I had to really kind of rely on people send in stuff and help me out. And if you actually go back and look at the account from like 2018 to 2020, the posts are pretty minimal to what they are now on a Saturday. Now, working with two TVs that are like live, and then one that's got like a ESPN Plus game on there or something, or a completely legal stream, and I'm looking at those games, and if something's happened, I only have sound on one of them too, so like it actually really annoys me when someone's like, how did you not get the audio of this ref saying I don't know, I can't think of something, but like the ref just said something nuts, you didn't get the audio? I don't have the audio on for that game. I can only listen to one game at a time. Am I nuts for that? But so I'm like watching three games at once, and maybe I've got one or two or three pulled up on my computer. It's like lower games or FCS or whatever. I'm always just watching stuff, trying to find stuff that happens, while also watching for the quality of the game and the content that that brings, and trying to evaluate teams for like top 25 polls and players of the week and all that stuff. I'm now a Biletnikoff voter and Davey O'Brien voter, so now I've really got key in on receivers and quarterbacks. But like, not to like ramble on too much, but so three TVs or so, so there's like what, 5-6 games maybe that I'm watching at one time with the three TVs and the computer, and then at all times I have my phone pulled up. I have a bunch of tabs open every season on my phone that are for games, again, completely legal streams, nothing going wrong there. Mark Cuban trying to bait people into what streaming sites they use a few months ago was nasty work. I'm not gonna tell him, but so I've got those all like ready at the helm to try and like, I see some on TV, I have the game pulled up, I could get something real quick. And those streams are usually like 10-ish seconds behind, so I have to work really quick on it. I mean, like, that's really the process. And if I miss something or I'm not watching a game or something, then I've got to go on Twitter. I've got to refresh, like, with what seems like my life would be on the line, because I don't talk or anything. I'm, like, stressing, like, how would nobody else get this? Like, there's got to be someone out there that could help me out so I could tweet this out so people could laugh and see what just happened. And sometimes it's really good stuff that and it makes me very sad.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I guess before so before we get into some nitty-gritty questions about college football, I mean, is this just going to be college football for you? Is that how it started? You like college football? Are you going to do college basketball next, or is this just college football?
Man, there's always just been something about college football that I've just found fascinating. Also, college basketball and college sports as a whole, I suppose. But I started a college basketball account, and I couldn't do it. Like,
too many days of the week?
No, not that. Like, I'll dedicate my life to that. I don't care. It was the streaming was unbearable, because there's so many games. There's so many, like, as a profound, like, mid-major guy, like, there's just so many games. And then they took down Reddit CBB streams. So that really cooked the whole market. And you can find streams for these games at all. And Flow Sports coming in there in the early MTE time. And it's just, it's so hard to find good college basketball streams. Even if it's like a regular season Big 12 game in like February, it's still hard to find a competent stream. So I couldn't keep up with it. I tried my best, but it was too much. I couldn't keep up with it. I wasn't happy with it. And then luckily, I mean, there's an account out there now, whatever his ad is that runs the No Context College Basketball page, and he does a much better job at it than I would have been able to.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean, though, about those streams. I'm a Washington Husky alum, and let me just say that the Pac-12 didn't have the best coverage here in Arizona, and sometimes to find a Pac-12 game was a fucking mess.
It is, but I found the I was enlightened on kind of the glitch in the system last year, which is Pac-12 Network, obviously ain't nobody get it, but there's a way to view it, and that's going to YouTube, logging into a VPN, and searching Pac-12 Networks International, and every game's just there.
Oh, really?
Really?
Shit, man.
There's no subscription overseas for the Pac-12?
No, it's just on YouTube. It's a YouTube channel that runs like maybe 24/7, I don't know. It's just up there, and like, you know, watching UCLA play like, I don't know, whoever on Pac-12 Network, Fresno State, if that game was on Pac-12 Network, if I'm not mistaken, last year, having to watch it on there, and it's just like, this is where we're at? We could have just been watching Pac-12 Network on YouTube for free the whole time, so VPN it, go to Pac-12 Network International, and all your Pac-12 problems are solved till the conference collapses in a few days.
Yeah, until the conference is over.
Too fucking late now.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, a lot of the stuff we're talking about is, I would say, there's a good portion of, like, the reason of the demise of certain conferences is a lot of money, TV deals, exposure, whatever you want to say, like, a mix of all this. And I actually felt that with the Pac-12 over the last 5-6 years, where I was sitting there and saying, how is it so difficult for someone like me to be able to go catch a Washington Husky game or better yet, a UCLA game, or like, you know, these like major teams like Los Angeles, UCLA and USC. They're supposed to be the, you know, one of the biggest premier, you know, conference teams in all of America. And somehow it's difficult for me to catch a game. And I kind of slowly felt the Pac-12 dying because of that. And you could tell, like, this is really weird. Like, I shouldn't have this much trouble watching, you know, USC versus UCLA.
It's such a joke. Like, the fact that in that contract, each Pac-12 football team has to play a minimum of 3 games on Pac-12 Network each season. Just think of how many good games that ends up putting on Pac-12 Network. If I'm not mistaken, Utah-Oregon State last year was on Pac-12 Network. Like, it was. It's that bad. There has to be good games that go on that network and nobody could watch it. And it's like kind of that assumption is like, oh, only East Coast people can't watch it. And it's like, y'all are out here on the West Coast. I'm in Vegas, and none of us could watch it. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. Do you guys have DirecTV?
We're YouTube TV.
YouTube TV, yeah.
TV. Okay. Well, y'all really got to get on the YouTube glitch then.
Yeah. Well, yeah, found, exactly. It seems like we found a solution for the last year of Pac-12's existence.
But, like, I have DirecTV and I can't watch it. And that was, like, a deal that they had. It was, like, DirecTV, Pac-12 Network ain't meshing. It's only on, like, Spectrum and Time Warner or whatever. And it's like, you could live straight up in L.A., have DirecTV, and you can't watch a UCLA game. You can't watch SC play FGCU in basketball early on. Like, yeah, obviously the conference collapsed. We can't watch the dang teams play. And then we expect, I don't know if y'all want to get into it later, but the Pac-12 deal, the media rights deal, they said, awful.
Yeah, I mean, horrible. I guess let's get into that then. Let's get into some college football.
But wait, before we get into it, Jordan, I have one question. I have one question that's important. And Liam, if you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to. But you slipped in a little Mark Cuban was coming at you comment.
No, he wasn't. I could find the tweet. Mark Cuban a few months ago tweeted, I think during the NBA playoffs, he was like, oh, what legal streaming sites do you guys watch games on?
And I think he threw the just curious. He even threw, I think, just curious.
Okay, I thought you were talking about something directed at you.
No, Mark's never come after me. I'm sure he's a good guy. I know that, like, he's actually, like, complimented our website before, so he's a good guy in my books, but that comment, that tweet was unreal.
Oh, man, it's, you know, the reason a lot of people are getting on sites these days is the same topic we just had. I mean, like, at the end of the day, it's also, we've become at a point, you mentioned DirecTV, okay? With DirecTV, you weren't able to get Pac-12 Network. Well, with YouTube TV, I can get Pac-12, but there's other random, like, subscriptions or certain things that I'm unable to do, or sometimes it's lagging and sometimes I'm behind a little bit. I feel like one of the biggest issues in all sports, but we'll just talk about college sports for a second, especially because you're supposed to be able to find a way to watch every option. If you want to watch every game that you're interested in these days, they're making it where you'd have to spend like $500 by getting the SEC package and a Pac-12 package. And then, like, you know, Pac-12 was looking at like an Apple TV deal. And then you have MLB networks and NFL Red Zone. At some point...
And you want it in 4K, Sam?
Yeah, add another $7 a month. At some point, people are going to go online and find a stream, right? Because they're like, well, why am I going to sit here and pay $500 to catch some games?
Yeah, I don't know. It's terrible. I hate the whole, like, I don't know. I just turned 25. I classify myself as a boomer and like this. Like, I just want to sit on the couch, few TVs up, and just watch some games the old-fashioned way. Very simple. And I guess that's not where people want to be. I mean, we have the Thursday Night Football and the NFL's on Amazon now, and, you know, luckily it's on Twitch, I guess, so you can just watch it easily on there. But, like, I don't want to... The college football games on Peacock, like, I'm just not going to be able to watch those. I'm not looking for Peacock to watch Penn State Delaware. Like, it's just not... I don't know, their site was garbage too, and it's just not enticing at all. And I don't, like, when there's actual other games on, there's quality games on that you can just watch on ESPN or Fox, like, why do you want to subject yourself to having to pay so much money when the people that are doing it are probably only paying the, like, year-long subscription because they just want to watch their team play in one game on that network, like behind the paywall. So yeah, just go the completely legal stream route, and nothing's wrong with it. And maybe then these companies will realize this isn't going to work. We're just going to have to go back to the whole TV stuff in the future because we're not getting the subscriptions that we need. Like, I don't know. But that's why the Pac-12 deal was so bad. They really, really just didn't evaluate and assess their fan bases and college football fan bases as a whole. Because their whole thing was like, okay, George Kliavkov, the commissioner's talking for months and months, almost a year, like, oh, we've got a really good media rights deal coming. I can't wait to release it, share it with y'all. We're really close. Happens for like a year he's been saying this. People that believe them blows my mind because I'm sitting there listening to them like, yeah, you're not – you keep saying the same thing, but there's never any progress made. Like, I just think you're lying. And he was really like the Bishop Sycamore coach, who just believes everything they tell. So he keeps just lying and stuff, and then it gets like – Colorado left because Colorado left a week early, right? And kind of pushed that first domino forward to the whole collapse of Rome and the Targaryen dynasty ends. And what's happening is they know that the deal's garbage. They know that Kliavkov's just talking out his like butt, essentially. And we find out that the deal is each team. I forget the money, but like the money was way less than everyone was thinking. And then you would have to have Apple TV, and then on top of that, you'd have to pay for an Apple TV Pac-12 like subscription. So now you're paying extra money, which I guess they do with the MLS, and that's like $70-ish. People aren't gonna want to do that, even if like you have to assess. Like I'm a UCLA fan. I know UCLA fans well. I know the fan base well. They don't fill up the Rose Bowl in September or October. What makes you think that that fan base is going to buy this subscription-based Pac-12 Apple thingy to watch their team? They're not going to do that if they don't even pay like $25 to go watch a game in the Rose Bowl in the nosebleeds. Like, hey, there's not a bad view in the Rose Bowl, but you know what I'm saying. Like, they really just didn't assess things. And And then maybe they're thinking like, oh yeah, we have a really good product, which they do. The Pac-12 football product's incredible. It's really good in basketball too. But we know time and time again, East Coast people don't really care about the Pac-12. We know that with
high-end
voting, we know that with top 25s, etc. All the people that are major players in like the cultural media, they're at bed at 7 p.m. Eastern. Like they're just not watching Pac-12 really at its peak. They're missing Pac-12 After Dark, etc. There's Midwest people that watch, good for them. And yeah, there's East Coast people that watch. You know what I mean. And they're not going to buy that package either. So like, who are you selling this to? 8 fans from each team's fan base? Like, it was never going to work.
Yeah, the couple rich people from each fan base that don't mind spending another $70, and that's about it.
Even though they weren't going to pay for it.
That's true. They have better things to do on their side than watch Utah versus Colorado.
They're just waiting for their team to make like a big bowl game, and then they'll watch and be like, yeah, I was watching early in the season, and player A, first name, last name, had a really cool strip sack, and wow, I've been watching this team from the get-go. Crazy, I think we're here. Wow.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I mean, college football, especially alumni who really care about the team, tend to be a little bit older. They don't even figure out how to do the Apple TV subscription thing. They won't even figure it out. Like you're asking them for technology they don't even know how to use yet.
Hey, yeah. I'm not going to act like I really know how to use it either, but like, you know, it was just bad. And the death of the Pac-12 makes complete sense when you look at when you look at Larry Scott, who's running it, when you look at George Kliavkov, who's running it now. Like, incompetence and ineptitude at the top has helped. As I said, basically, Larry Scott drove the Pac-12's car to the beach, and then George Kliavkov took the same car and then just drove it into the middle of the ocean and was stranded there and didn't know what to do. Then all these teams, like, took the life rafts that were being offered by other conferences and went out and got out of the water, and he stayed in it and kept 4 other teams captive. Like, that's what happened. It was ineptitude.
Yeah, it's bad. And it's over. I mean, that conference is done. Unless, I don't know what they can do to stay alive. I mean, whatever they add, it's not going to be what it was.
Well, that's the issue, is is that in the early 2010s, the Pac-12 and Larry Scott had, like, the best media rights deal out there. They were getting paid the most money. They were in control. They had Texas and Oklahoma, like, on the ropes. Like, they could have added them, and they didn't, because Larry Scott and co. were, like, they're just too... I don't know what the word is. Maybe it's pretentious. Maybe that's not the right word, but too, like... They just want to stay West Coast. They wanted to keep it with the 4-12, whatever, and it never worked. And Texas A&M spurned the Pac-12 to go SEC. And, you know, you could have Texas, Oklahoma, you didn't do it. Even last year, or whenever, it was two years ago, whenever Texas, Oklahoma announced that they were going to the SEC, you had, like, the Texas Techs of the world and those other straggling Big 12 programs like Oklahoma State, too, Kansas State. Could have gone out and tried adding them while the Big 12 was down, and you didn't. So when we're in this era of these conferences wanting to be super powerful and create the super conferences and stuff, you have to be cutthroat. You have to be willing to be the bad guy. You can't be the nice guy. And the Pac-12 was just too, like, trying to be a nice guy, didn't want to ruin anything, and then they got Ian up in the end, and it's not surprising in the slightest. The Alliance, too. What a sham.
I know. It is sad. Could have been a top conference.
Yeah, so I guess, what do you think is the future of the Pac-12? Like, if you were to, I guess, guess or try to assess, which I don't think anyone can get that right.
I don't know, because... a lot of the, like, instant talk is just, oh, Oregon State, Washington State, Cal, Stanford, you know, just merge with the Mountain West. That doesn't make any sense. I don't think Stanford is much too prestigious of a university to go into the Mountain West. Cal is also completely full of themselves and too pretentious and stuff to go to the Mountain West. Like, those programs don't belong there at all. Maybe they do, like, sports-wise in this very moment, because... their basketball and football teams and some other sports are pretty bad, but they have a lot of good sports as a whole, and they're good academic universities, and they just don't fit there at all. Like, personally, what I thought that the Big Ten would have taken Stanford and left Cal out. I don't think Cal's an attractive get right now, and I'm shocked that the ACC actually wants him. I don't really understand that at all. Cal's, like, bankrupt, and I wouldn't be surprised if in a few years Cal's just dropping football, so I really don't understand. And also, if I'm Cal, why would I want to be in the ACC? We're already bankrupt. Now we have to pay all this money to fly all our teams cross-country like that?
7-hour flights to, like, North Carolina?
I'm not interested in that at all. If I'm Cal, I'm just trying to go independent. Or, like, again, I want to do it, but I think that dropping football is, like, a serious thing that they might have to really... really, really strongly consider, which I know they have in the past. Stanford, I would have thought was Big Ten. I get Big 12. I don't hate the Ivy League, but personally, I would just go independent. Like, I think that that's the best thing to do. You and Notre Dame are independent. That's pretty solid. Washington State, Oregon State, I feel awful for them. Those are two programs that shouldn't be in the spot that they're in right now. I would have thought that the Big 12 would have taken them. The Big Ten's obviously not going to. What do you do? If the Big 12's not taking you, I don't know what you do. I guess, like, they do fit into the Mountain West, but it's so... there has to be such massive strides taken with the Mountain West that they also have to grow in a big way. And you have to try and... you would have to bank on taking... you would basically have to parlay getting Oregon State and Washington State in and using it to attract other teams from maybe the American. And it's like, okay, UTSA, SMU, maybe we go all the way out to Tulane. We're trying to say, like, we're trying to build a very solid conference here full of really good, what was Group of Five talent and some Power Five talent. Maybe you reach out to FCS teams too, like Montana State and Montana, and you try and, like, create a legit conference. Like, I tweeted out a meme, like, map graphic of, like, 21 teams because I'm bad at math and didn't do 20 or 22. But it was, like, kind of a meme, but it was also, like, kind of serious, not to the extent of 20 teams, but, like, build a really good, like, West Coast and then maybe dip into the Texas part, which I didn't do, and try and get SMU, try and get UTSA, try and actually get something to where you're covering a lot of regions and you're getting good, like, strong programs that are on the rise. Like, SMU and UTSA are really looking up. I don't know if you could actually go out all the way to Tulane. I think that's still bad.
But they're teams that keep hitting the top 25 every year now. And it's, you know, if you can build something interesting, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you have to really go out and find that. And maybe, again, it is trying to find the influx of FCS talent, too. And, like, going for the Montana schools or Eastern Washington or
North Dakota State.
I don't think NDSU would do it, but if there is a world where the Mountain West essentially swallows up Oregon State and Washington State and then adds Montana, Montana State, North Dakota State, South Dakota State, Eastern Washington, UTSA, SMU, that's really exciting. I don't think that there's a chance that happens, but us talking as college sports fans, think about how exciting that is for, we just lost the Pac-12. And that's what we're going to get to replace it. Like, I think that's a fine consolation prize. It's not the same thing at all, but that's a bunch of Group of Five and FCS teams that would then be moving up the ranks, essentially, with the help of Oregon State and Washington State and the stature that they've been able to, you know, bring in years. I don't know. Like, that's where my head's at.
I think it would be a cool concept considering, like, you know, I know SMU's in a big city technically, but like a lot of those schools like Wazoo, Oregon State, North Dakota and South Dakota State, like you said, they could be moving up into this, for most of them, they'd be moving up into this like bigger conference, moving up into full Division One, but also a lot of like small town feels that like love their college football team. Like imagine a North Dakota State game, like if they were moved up to that Mountain West and like full Division One now. Yeah, it would go nuts, right? And the recruiting would be easier. They'd actually, I think Boise State's a great example. They could become a team that maybe becomes like Boise State and has a shot. And at least you can build something interesting with kind of a lot of underdog schools in the Mountain West. Because otherwise, for Wazoo and Oregon State, I feel pretty bad because that's a major downgrade if they can't figure something out. Whatever they end up doing is, like, Oregon State had a hell of a run last year, became a pretty good football team, and then just to be like kind of left stranded is pretty awful.
Made the Elite Eight too.
Yeah,
they have a dominant baseball program.
So I forgot they made the Elite Eight too in basketball.
Like, I mean, they were garbage last year, but like, I feel so bad for that program. And we're talking about NDSU, like, as much as I'd like to think this, something I said last year was, why would a king leave its castle? Like, I just don't see why NDSU would leave the FCS where they're competing for a title every year and dominance like that. I think that they'd really have to get, like, as crazy as it sounds. Like, maybe if the Big Ten came calling, then they would go in there. Or the Big 12, maybe, and then maybe they'd start to talk. But as long as they're the king of that castle, I don't see them leaving. I think one thing that we could actually look at, though, with the whole hypothesization, if that's even a word, the whole UTSA,
I like it.
SMU, Oregon State, Washington State, Montana, Montana State, NDSU, South Dakota State, how about adding basketball programs? Well, if you went out there and you attracted Gonzaga and St. Mary's, and then you were like, we're also going to build a really good basketball program that people could get excited about. So you try and, you know, snipe some teams from the West Coast, maybe San Francisco, too. And then, like, that attracts more teams to come in. Okay, you guys have a really established basketball conference now with Gonzaga and St. Mary's and San Francisco. Yeah, I want to play there. I want our basketball program to be there. Now our football program is going to be there, too, albeit those West Coast schools don't have football. But the basketball could be an attraction to get football teams in. And, yeah, I don't know. That was just a thought that I had 3 seconds ago.
Yeah, there's a lot of room for a new dominant like basketball conference too. If you can make something really interesting, bringing in people like Gonzaga and St. Mary's, already have two top 25 teams every single year, and then build this thing for them and be like, okay, you're not going to be a powerhouse in football, but like, let's start this like mid-major type of schools powerhouse of basketball and like make it interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. I mean, I'm sure this is what the commissioners, especially ADs of Oregon State and Wazoo are doing right now. They're probably sitting like us trying to figure out what the fuck they're going to do anyway.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I can't even imagine being in that spot. I know that there's like even rumors of Washington State's AD being the next AD at Ohio State potentially. So like, he might be out there. He was formerly at Ohio State too. Earlier in his career, but I don't know what those programs are going to do. I don't know what's going to happen in the next months or whatever. The Big 12 keeps saying they're done. I don't think that they're done. You say that you're done, it doesn't mean anything. We know that there was an alliance that meant nothing, albeit they weren't in it, but words don't really mean anything. The actions do. There's been talks, man, about UConn and Gonzaga joining the Big 12. Like, the Gonzaga talk has been there for a while. I mean, we had the Pac-12 talk with them and never amounted to anything. But there's been serious Big 12 talk for them. UConn would be going there for basketball only, and like, I think that that makes sense too, and it really plays into what Yormak and the Big 12 are wanting to do, which is just being the evil empire, not caring about what anybody else thinks, and just wanting to be downright evil and just get the most TV money possible, make the most money possible, have the best collection of teams in every sport you can possible. It's like, when people are out there in media that are saying, like, the Big 12's done, this is what they're saying they're done, I don't believe that at all.
Yeah, is Arizona and Arizona State officially given their move to the Big 12, or is that still kind of just hush-hush, it's going to happen?
What, ASU and Arizona in the Big 12?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're in there.
They're in there already? It's official now?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So Arizona made the first move. It's like the whole thing here is like, it's hard to be the first school to do it because you don't want to be seen as the bad guy and breaking True. Things up and like being at fault for the collapse of everything. But again, like the ineptitude of the Pac-12 is what at the top is what like truly was the downfall. So once Arizona got in, then Arizona State reluctantly was like, okay, I guess we're going to go. And they don't seem very happy about it at all. They just know, like, we either get stabbed to death or we move on. I think we're not going to get stabbed to death. That seems like the smart thing, too. And then Utah's like, okay, yeah, we're going to go there now. So, like, yeah, the Pac-12's just dead. I don't know what they could do. I think the ACC is also on the chopping block. There's been the Florida State being the first team that would move out because Clemson would wait for them, right? Clemson doesn't want to be the first team to go. They don't want to be the bad guy. They're founding father of the ACC.
Right.
They don't want like the blood on their hands. So FSU would just say they would take the fall. They would go to the Big Ten as the talk. I disagree. I think what's going to happen here is that FSU and Clemson are ultimately going to go to the SEC. I don't have any insight or anything. It's just why I personally believe and have believed since last year when we really started talking about this stuff after UCLA and SC left for a Big Ten is I think what would happen is the SEC is going to notice, and they obviously are very cognizant of the fact that the Big 12 and Big Ten are trying to eat everyone alive and just want the sport to themselves. But the SEC isn't going to sit around. They're not just going to, like, stay put with their Mizzou's and Vanderbilt's of the world and say, yeah, we're good here. No, they would try to add. How do you not try and add FSU and Clemson for your football conference? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Even further on that, there's our sports. There's still basketball. Why would you not try and add Duke and UNC? If the ACC is falling, why don't you try and add Duke and UNC to the SEC? Very competent football programs, elite basketball programs. That just helps the SEC in basketball exponentially. It's going to be a bloodbath, man. That's, again, just what I think. I think that, and then, like, you know, you'd probably bring Miami in because now you would have Miami, Florida State, Florida on the SEC. Pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I guess. At least that's regional because we know the Big Ten, their regional rivalry is UCLA Rutgers.
Yeah, man. It college football in general, it's just, and college basketball, but I feel like college football, I mean, just has a bigger pool to everyone unless it's Duke, North Carolina, is just changed. It's changed forever. We had someone on our Seattle podcast, Washington, for talking about Washington Huskies. And I don't think this would ever happen, but I kind of want to get your thoughts on it. He even suggested one day, don't be surprised, 5-10 years from now, we're talking about trades in midseason in college sports.
Midseason. Like trading conferences or trading players?
Trading players.
Player, okay. In 5 to 10 years. I mean, I think saying no straight up would just be idiotic because anything could happen. That's why I always, like, people say, like, unbreakable records and stuff are never going to be broken. That's not true. Like, we could be in 2083. We don't know what concepts there's going to be now. There could be quarterbacks throwing the ball 86 times a game for 5,000 yards a game. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. They could be flying. So, yeah, I wouldn't put it out of the realm, but there could be legit trades, and I think that's kind of a fascinating concept of, let's just take UCLA, for example. Let's say they've got alpha wide receiver one who's like a potential top 10 draft pick, but UCLA starts the season 2-6. And he's going to the draft right after the season. Let's throw in Alabama, who their wide receiver just tore his hamstring. Sorry, futuristic hypothetical, but probably sixth grader right now. I'm sorry. Alabama's in the market for WR1 now, so what's that look like? UCLA sends a receiver there for what? Is it like
money? Three future scholarships.
Cash.
Scholarships, cash, cars. Like, what's it going to be for future recruits? Like, okay, we have the number 8 recruit in the country and the number 52 recruit. We'll give you the number 8 recruit, the number 52 recruit, and we'll give you, third string safety who's a redshirt freshman for, like, that's weird.
I know. But yeah, I used to think it'd be weird to think about NILs. I thought it was weird to think about this conference realignment. So when the guy threw out the trade stuff, I was like, this would never work. I mean, a kid going to go change colleges? Like, he's a chem major at UCLA, going to go become a sociology major at Alabama. But man, like you said, never say never.
And it's been happening with the transfer portal. I've never seen so many players change schools every single year. It used to be hard to transfer. It's a red shirt a year. Like, oh, I don't know, this is not working. Now it's like, oh, wait, that guy. I'm pretty sure I've seen him on 2 different colleges the last 3 years.
I mean, I'm a big fan of the portal and just letting the players, for the most part, get to freely transfer. And I mean, at the end of the day, I have to look at, like, they're trying to make the best decision for themselves.
Yep.
I know it doesn't always happen that way, but if they're getting paid too, like, good for them. That's super important. And then the coaching carousel, I think it's always just super bad when, like, a coach speaks out about the portal, and then 2 weeks later, he just took the job at East-West Texas Southern Hemisphere State for $1 billion. Like, where you just did the same thing that you were hating on players for.
And you just convinced 30 kids to sign a letter of intent here because you're here for them.
I'm always pro transfer portal, pro coaching carousel too. Like, do whatever you think is best, whatever's best for your family, yourself, make the most money possible, put yourself in the best positions to succeed. But trading is nuts. The thought of that, the concept is just gross.
It is gross. That's the best way to put it.
You got a kid that's like, not only is he out there studying film, let's go with quarterback for example, he's studying film on the upcoming opponent. He's got, you know, he's about to face a 3-8 team. Also, would there be a trade deadline? I assume so. So let's say he's facing a 3-4 team before the deadline. He's prepping for that. He gets traded on Monday night, and now he's got to go play a top 25 team and prep for them. And also, on top of that, he's been studying for his, like, algebra final all week, all month. So now, what's going to happen there? Are his credits transferring? Does he still have to take the algebra final?
Or do they just give him an A? Maybe you trade the grades, too. This guy gets an A. You move it over here.
Anyway, to say this, I think I've always thought in like 20, 25-ish years, we'll just be back to what conferences were a few years ago. We're just going to revert all the way back because this stuff's not going to last. It's not going to work. Until, 25 years from now, there's a clip of this circulating and people are making fun of us for thinking that.
Old takes exposed.
There's just one conference.
Old takes exposed juniors, right?
They're going to say, these idiots said it wasn't going to work. Look at us now.
We could have predicted predict the future 25 years from now. We're awful. We're terrible.
We'll probably be a draft in 25 years. Not even just trading players, just draft guys.
The draft of college football is really a fascinating concept. If we're doing like college football, college basketball, etc., those drafts, because you got to think of how many rounds there are. Is this going to be televised? What's the TV money here? What recruiting like deals are there going to be? Where the recruits are there, but like what NIL deals are there going to be? Like, is there a kid wearing like a Talkies themed suit to the college football draft, or he's going to be a number one pick and Talkies pay him a bunch to wear a Talkies suit? That draft is fascinating. What trades there could be? What picks do we give like Old Dominion and Oral Roberts? Like, yeah. What are we? How do you? That can't happen. They could all take expose me on that. That can't happen.
Nah, that shit's not going
to
happen.
You also would have to evaluate like 4,500 high school kids in order to fill up a team with 300 football teams. You got to fill that up with like 400 rounds.
Well, think about like Hawaii, who's out there on the island. Now they've got to do all this scouting on the mainland. They've got to go all the way to Maine to maybe find the guy that they could take in the 93rd round of the draft. And I don't know, like, I don't even know. My brain is racing with too many thoughts on this absurd concept. Imagine being a kid from Montana that just got drafted to go play in Hawaii. Like, he hits the lottery, and now a kid in Hawaii got drafted to go play in New Hampshire basketball. Brutal.
Yeah. Shit.
Awful.
Horrible.
He might get retired.
Yeah, we basically just redid the whole NFL instead of college football. There we got drafts, trades, just a junior league.
Man, it's sad that they're trying to NFL-ize college sports.
Yeah, I don't like it personally, but at the end of the day, you're a fan of UCLA. I'm a fan of University of Washington. Sammy's a University of Washington fan. You know, for us, we got the good end of a bargain, but if you feel bad for, I got a lot of Wazoo friends, you know, it's a rivalry, but you do feel bad. Like, their whole college football watching experience has been, for better, no better words, been screwed over for a long time.
Yeah, it definitely has, and it's obviously really sad, and it stinks that this is happening, and what really should have been one of the brightest seasons in the Pac-12 in recent memory. Like, this season is so good. There's so many good teams and players and schemes to watch. Coaches, like, that are going to rise. Like, I tweeted about this the other week. Like, not only is this really bad for Oregon State, but as, like, just the thought of their strand, don't have a conference. Jonathan Smith's an Oregon State icon. He's their head coach there. Why would he want to stay, though? Like, say Oregon State has another very good season, albeit he played at Oregon State. Why would he want to stay there and try and navigate the ship through all the downs when he's getting major money offers from some of the top, like, Power 5 teams in the country? We're talking, like, Big Ten SEC offers that he would have. Mm-hmm. How about they have an exciting quarterback there, true freshman Aiden Childs, who's really going to tear it up in the next few years once he gets his chance. We're all right. It is not often you're talking about an Oregon State incoming freshman as a legit NFL prospect, and Childs is that? I mean, dude, after a season, I would just think he hits the portal, because why would he want to stay and play for a team that's maybe playing in the Mountain West next season or independent ball? Like, just go to a Power 5 and help your draft stock the most that you can. Like, it stinks for them in that, right? It's so bad.
That's tough. I honestly feel the worst for Oregon State, even more than Washington State. Because Oregon State, like, I feel like they're officially on the come up, right, in football. Like, they were like, finally getting to the point where, like, I've been waiting for them to get for the last 10 years.
The glory days were kind of upon them, I think that you can say. Like, it was going to be really good these next few years. They have a really good just influx of talent that they've got in football. An outstanding, an elite head coach. the thought of like Aiden Childs at quarterback next year with Damian Martinez in his backfield is just like, all this team is they're a WR1 away from being truly elite. And it stinks that they didn't get that in the portal this year. I really thought they would have. But regardless, like, the scheme is just so good that they'll be able to win anyway and thrive offensively anyway. And, like, it's not a big deal that they don't have a WR1. It doesn't really fit what the team needs, but it stinks for them. Like, they are... Doom doesn't even begin to say it, to describe it.
I have my one thought that I have, and I don't know if this, you might actually have the answer to this more than I do, so that's why I'm asking, is like, when is like this whole decision making have to be done by? Like, if Oregon State becomes a top 10 team in the nation, is there a likelihood that like Big 12 is like, you know what, actually we want you for next year? Or are they going to be stuck for a year independent? Or like, how far in advance do these decisions have to be made?
Not entirely sure of the. I assume that there's like a certain date out there, like a certain period that you have to be affiliated with the conference by in order to play for them that upcoming season. I know that sometimes in college basketball you'll see it happen kind of late in the kind of like maybe in like May or June that it'll happen where a team kind of switches and is kind of under the radar. I could be mistaken on the time of date there. I'm sorry. Concept of time is tough, but I'm really not sure of the exact time that, like, I guess maybe hypothetically if Oregon State's like top 10 in November and they're looking really good, Pac-12 championship maybe is in their eye and they're beating teams left and right with quality wins. When do you start to see like the Big 12 like say, okay, maybe your market isn't the best, but there's really something there and we at least want it for the next 2-3 years, so at least come be a part of us, long-term deal, etc., and we'll try and make this happen for a long run? Or does the Big 10 say, wait, no, we've actually always liked Oregon State, we're gonna bid more TV money, etc., and try again? I don't know.
We just forgot to invite you last year. Sorry.
Yeah, the invite got lost in the mail while we were trying to harass Washington and Oregon. And I don't, like, Washington and Oregon are getting paid half as much as like Rutgers and Maryland are.
I know. 10,
so how good deal you guys got yourselves there. Also made SC unhappy in the process, because SC, when they went to the Big Ten, they were like, just don't bring Oregon. We don't actually want Oregon to come over eventually. And then UCLA was like kind of attached as a little brother and was like, okay, if SC's going, then you have to take us too. And that's how UCLA got into there. And then, I mean, Oregon just made SC so unhappy. Like, actually, they're livid.
Well, I'm going to throw one last concept at you because you guys got me thinking at one thing. So we can do this English Premier League style now. You finish bottom three in the Big Ten, Rutgers, Maryland, Northwestern, you're out. Next year, top three of the Mountain West, you come up for 1 year to the Big Ten. Bottom three out, top three in, you guys all split the TV money, regulation style.
I don't watch soccer, first off, but I'm very cognizant of the, like, relegation and stuff. I just don't think it works in college sports at all, because I think you actually really have to assess the situation and say, first off, these programs are being paid this amount of money because they deserve it, because of the market that they're in, the fan base, the stadiums, the facilities that they have, etc., what they've been able to set themselves up for, like, in the success department. And then think of, like, the guys that didn't play that season. Like, let's just say Georgia goes undefeated, wins the national championship, their entire defense leaves. They don't have anyone else. New defense comes in. They aren't very good at the beginning, and let's say they go 6-6, and they end up getting relegated for that. And then the defense like takes strides the following year, and they're actually really, really good now, and they just are destroying these absolutely inferior programs every other week, like it's SEC Cupcake Week. Like, I just don't think it works. And then there's also the other scenario where – let's say that Mountain West team goes undefeated. They do really good, but a lot of players are gone now, and now they're in this top-tier conference, but it's a whole new cast and people that weren't responsible for what happened last season, really. So how is it fair for those guys to have to play against that level of competition that early in their careers when they're trying to break out, when they're trying to get footing? Like, it just doesn't make sense. And then it's the same thing for, like, if you're at Rutgers and you go 3-9, why is it fair for the guys that went there to at least get the chance to play high-quality Power 5 football, get on TV and stuff? Why is it fair for those kids now to have to be punished because the players before them were so putrid that now they're being at fault? Like, I just don't think... I think that there's a seismic difference between college sports and all the other sports, because we don't get, like, Kevin Durant going to Texas to play college basketball for his entire life. Like, that's just not what we get.
Right.
So when these kids only have one-year commitments, a lot of them in college basketball, and then maybe it's three-year commitments. Sometimes it could get to eight. That's just how it works with the injuries and retros and stuff. Like, when you have these short-term commitments, you can't be relegating and promoting teams. I just don't think it's very fair to anybody. I really don't know if there's a single winner when we talk about this, like, and actually think about it. Who wins?
The little schools potentially would only be the one that wins, right?
Because getting the money, but then they stink again, and then they just go back.
Go back
to where they started.
They made a lot of money that one year. Now they can use all that money to, like, put it back into the facilities and stuff. And now it's really good the next season. And then they just keep going up and down. It's just a roller coaster that never ends.
That's true. Yeah,
come up, get hurt. Yeah, no, I don't think so either.
When like people like seriously go out there with their relegation takes, I forgot who did, like an actual like legit like college football writer put it out there the other week. I just don't think that they actually think about and think in depth like we are about what it means. I think it's just a simple thought, and it's like, okay, this would be really cool. Like, we should do this. Alabama playing in the Ivy League. Like, wow, what a thought.
Probably not a good idea.
Harvard in the SEC. Wow.
A lot of people getting hurt is what's going to happen there.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
It's an interesting time in college football, to say the least.
To say the least, yeah. But, you know, on the bright side, I would say that they're, wow, we're bashing realignment a lot. There's conferences that actually did it right. Like, the Sun Belt, I think, if you're looking and doing, like, school projects, the Sun Belt got an A++ and extra credit 100% for what they did in realignment. If you just look at a map of that conference and you look at how close these schools are to each other, you could be a fan and you could just get in your car and go to a road game very easily. It's all very regionally located. There's regional rivalries that they've got from back in the FCS days with like App State and James Madison. They're reuniting it now and in FBS football, or you've got like rivalries that are really coming up, like App State and Coastal, and you've got App State and Georgia Southern, the hate, the rivalry there, and the hate that they share for one another. Like, the Sun Belt did realignment right. So, if there's any consolation prize here, watch Sun Belt football this season. Truly watch it. Watch how much it means to them, the traditions that they have, how close the rivalries are, the teams are to each other. There's a lot of good teams in the Sun Belt. Like, there are a lot of good teams that they have. Off the top of my head, I would say that they have, like, what, 7 legit teams in the East Division? You have 4 teams that could win that division. In the West, I would say you have 3 that could win the division. You've got some of the best teams in all the Group of 5 in South Alabama and Coastal Carolina, and James Madison can't play in a bowl game or anything. They have to get a waiver for it, and we'll see if that works because the NCAA is terrible human beings. But again, any consolation prize, the Sun Belt did realignment right, and they show why you need they show why realignment should have been. I don't know. They just did it right. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, you just saying that, you know, all the fans can go to the away games, that's a huge deal, right? I mean, that's what college sports is about.
Yeah, like, it's so simple. Like, we have, if I'm not mistaken, App State Coastal's on a Tuesday night this season. It might be on a day where the World Series is being played, so just simply don't watch the World Series. You're a Coastal fan, you just get in your car, you drive to the next state over, and you get to watch your team play a highly touted matchup, so much hatred, respect shared between the two programs on Tuesday night. Like, what is better than that? If you're a college football fan, one of these group of five, like, the Sun Belt's in such a good spot, and maybe in a few years, like, we're talking about Sun Belt teams getting pushed for bigger conferences. That would stink, because I want to see these teams stay there and just keep building. So maybe in a few years, we're talking about the Sun Belt having been so good and so strong and so consistent that we could talk about them parlaying all that success and their regional rivalries into, like, you're our fifth Power 5 program, you're our fifth Power 5 conference now. The Pac-12's dead, like, Sun Belt, like, you're what we need. You're just another really good Southeastern conference. Okay, not the SEC. I didn't mean to say that. It does just mean more in the Sun Belt, but, you know, like, Southeastern regionally, so yeah, I don't know. The furthest team they have is Texas State. Like, that's the furthest team they have out
West.
They keep it very regionally, and it's very good.
Love it.
What an interesting time. I'm gonna watch some Sun Belt this year for you.
Good. I converted one guy on a transfer portal CFB team last year. He did the Sun Belt preview pod with me, and he was kind of like, I'm gonna try and get into it this year. Now he's like the biggest Sun Belt guy you've ever seen.
I'll keep you posted. You might see me taking a visit, taking a flight to Appalachian State, trying to see what's up.
Dude. I mean, like, look at incredible venue that they have, but just look at what the Sun Belt did last year. Like, App State, they went, they beat Texas A&M. You had Marshall, they beat Notre Dame. You had App State, then after even that App State season did not go as planned at all. Like, they didn't even make a bowl game, but they host College Game Day. They win the College Game Day game on a Hail Mary. Like, the Sun Belt just never fails to amaze. You have Grayson McCall, who's won Player of the Year 3 straight years. Doesn't happen anywhere. And he stays there. He goes in the portal and he stays there. Like, I don't know. They just...
They're doing it right.
Yes, we got from the Pac-12's death all the way to the Sun Belt's renaissance, but we made it all the way around the globe, and I hope to have converted some Sun Belt fans. Like, I need to get to a game one day as well in the Sun Belt, but...
I will say, I know that App State has, like, the craziest, like, baseball stadium I've ever seen, that picture of it, like, in the fall. The trees around, and I know their football stadium kind of has the same, like, hills and trees vibe. It looks pretty beautiful.
It definitely is a sight to see, and you've got Coastal right next to the beach. I don't know, like, South Alabama and Mobile, I know people like Mobile. That's where Senior Bowl is. I don't know, like, this James Madison's at a really good college town. Like, it's just good. I don't know. It's just good.
I love it.
Well, I'm going to just leave with one last question. I know we took you a little bit over your time, man, but we appreciate it. Since we got a large Seattle following, what do you think of Washington Huskies football this season? My expectations are very, very high, so I hope you can help me exceed or match them.
First off, I hate preseason. I hate preseason polls so much that I decided to do one this year. To show people how much I hate them. Because mine's just going to be so much different than anyone else's. Like, I'm actually, when you look at these preseason polls, people aren't projecting enough. They're more so brand names. Let's get Texas in there, Notre Dame. Like, let's make sure that the brands are there. And SC's at the top. And Who was good in 2022? They have to be good in 2023 again. No, you have to project a lot. Washington lost two games last season, by the way, by what? A combined like 6 or 8 points or something like that?
You
like,
should not have lost that Arizona State game.
No, they shouldn't have lost the UCLA game either. They should have gone undefeated. And if you want to talk about 2022, then seriously consider Washington. So I'm starting to write up my top 25. And, you know, I have Alabama at 1, I have Georgia at 2, I have Penn State at 3, I have Washington at 4. Like, I think Washington
is
good. And when you're talking about, people will just blindly put USC there at, like, number 4, 5, 6 or whatever, and not really think about it. The brand name wins over. Why, though? What are they better at Washington than? I would say both teams are, both teams, yes, SC has the Heisman winning quarterback. They're the best quarterback in the country. If you really compare their two offenses, like, they're both just elite. And then if you compare the two defenses, Washington's defense is so much better than SC's. Yeah. SC can't tackle any of us. Like, let's be honest here. Like, so if you're that high on SC, then why are you not that high on Washington? It just doesn't make any sense. And it's a very good offense with high-flying passing game with intelligent minds and DeBoer and Grubb and two of the best receivers in the country. I just don't see how you can't be infatuated with what Washington has. And the one worry I have is the Pac-12 cannibalizing itself in its final season, because that'd be fitting. It always cannibalizes itself. It always makes sure that the top team doesn't succeed as much as they should. So that's the only thing that scares me. But Washington, like, I think that they should be an 11-1 team, and they should make the Pac-12 championship, and they should be whoever is there, whether it's Oregon, Oregon State, USC, or Utah. Like, they should. They're the best team in the conference. I don't think I'm crazy for saying that. I think you guys would agree.
Absolutely. Yeah, it just scares me, as you also said, it cannibalizes itself. There will be a wacky game where Washington goes, I don't know, this year we don't got Arizona State, thank God. We haven't won there in, I think, a decade now. But there'll be a weird game where it's a 7:30 p.m. start on the West Coast.
And at Stanford.
At Stanford.
And to that Stanford team, but I ain't ranking you ever again.
Yeah, no, we won't lose that Stanford team. But
I will say the Washington, my biggest concern this year is there's no cupcake game. Like, there's usually a Sac State, something like that. This year it's Boise State, which is, you can never say it would be like an easy game. Tulsa, that's as close as like it. Again, but like it's not as bad as like playing a Sac State or Portland State.
Like, Tulsa, I think Tulsa's on the down end, though. They have a really exciting quarterback in Braylon Braxton, but I just don't think that that team is going to be very good at all. The Boise State game, like, if you want to flip it to Boise State's non-conference schedule is awful, too. They play Washington, obviously. They play UCF. They play at Memphis. Like, they set themselves up for a really tough non-conference, and that could be one of the best group five teams in the country. Boise State Washington's going to be a fascinating game, but yeah, like, looking at Washington's schedule, there is no cupcake. You talk about the wacky game that could happen. If it's Stanford, oh my gosh, that's so embarrassing. I guess, like, the true wacky game, though, would be, like, you're in Tucson at Arizona, end of September. Let's say you just started your season 4-0. Things are looking up, and you've got Oregon in 2 weeks after that. Maybe you're looking ahead. College game day, maybe. Like,
Penix kind of hurts his hamstring in the first quarter.
Oh, no. Roman Dunze's just out for no reason. Nobody knows why. just coach's decision. Like, just that happens in college football all the time. Like, we know that that's going to happen to some team where their top player or like third best players just not playing for a coach's decision. We know what it alludes to, but I don't know. For what it's worth, though, I just remembered, it did pick Washington to make the playoff last season or 2 years ago, and it did not go well at all. So hopefully I'm not a jinx.
I really hope not, man. Speaking of that Arizona game, that's the game I'm going to – the first game I'll be at this year. So if there's going to be a wacky one, it's going to be the one that I go to.
Yeah. Hopefully they overcome it then and they put on a good performance. And it'll be a fun game. Shootout.
Oh, man. I can't wait for it. This is the most excited I've been for Washington Husky football. And I would say since Peterson left, that would probably be it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb. I think that they have just two brilliant offensive minds there that have really good again, passing game, Fatanu on the offensive line. The defense has so many good pieces. Like, they have three really good edge rushers. ETF, Braylon Trice should be a first-round pick. Zach Durfee, a transfer from Sioux Falls, where DeBoer was at, too, once upon a time. Like, they've got some dudes, man. The secondary, we'll have to see. I would like Devon Banks to take a step up. And then the one position that I like am actually like questioning is a running back. I would like to see them get a really, really good running back in the portal. Keon Mitchell went to the NFL, but like if they could entice Keon Mitchell, like, yo, you should transfer from ECU to Washington, like, let's make that happen. Or like I would have tried to have been out there in the transfer portal and got like a legit game-changing running back, so I wish that they did that. But it's okay that they didn't. They could win with throwing the ball. That's more fun anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Let Penix throw it like 50 times a game. It's more exciting.
The Renaissance he had last year. Good for him. Hope it can.
I know. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. That's been one of my favorite stories in college football last year.
I think I'd have to agree. I had a lot of doubts about him going into the year, and he shattered my doubts and everyone else's. And then, yeah, so I guess it was Washington 2 years ago, I said, to the playoff. That was bad.
Yeah. Oh, was that the Jimmy Lake year where they went like four and something?
Yeah, the Jimmy Lake year.
It won't happen this time if I do end up picking them.
Yeah, they won't be that bad. Don't worry.
They have to be good.
I hope.
Hopefully. Well, I think that's all we got for today. We did take up a lot of your time, but we enjoyed the conversation. So we thank you for coming on today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank y'all for having me. Really appreciate it. And, you know, just let me know when to retweet it and everything. And, yeah, I hope that y'all have good success on your podcast too the rest of the season and everything.
Hey, thank you, man. And if you want to tell people about, I know you have the like college football preview. Yeah, I know you're selling that on, you know, if you want to plug that in.
Yeah, we have a college football preview magazine that we made, 368 pages for $9.99. It's the best deal out there, better than like your favorite restaurant's deal. It's very good. There's insane details in it from, I did a no context CFB like fun fact. For all 133 FBS teams. Each team, whether it was Alabama or whether it was Georgia Southern, insane quality given to them. It was the same in-depth preview, both two pages, both around 1,200 words. I wrote about Boise State and I wrote about Ohio. Then I think like ways that we are able to differentiate ourselves from other season previews is we had player interviews and we put them in the player feature story. So there's a lot of like interesting stories that you'll have. Like Blake Corum talked about NIL and doing it for good and giving back to the community. Grayson McCall and, you know, the encore, this is his final season. I wrote that piece about him and interviewed him and like what's to come in his final season, what's on his mind, and, you know, like Caleb Hood, a receiver at Georgia Southern, he's one of eight kids in his family. Isaiah Alston, a receiver at Army, who's NFL caliber player. Will he ever get to the NFL because he's an Army kid? He has talked about his struggles too with like life and everything, and how the brotherhood at Army saved him. So like, there's legit good stuff in the preview, and it's not just about previewing teams. Like the stories that we're able to tell are really dope. So I think it's love really that. Good value for $9.99. Very honest person. I think it's really good. I think it could have been better. I think it'll be better next year, but it's still the best thing out on the market. There's not a better preview than this.
Love it. Well, I'll be purchasing it this week and deep diving in because it's that time. It's time to do as much research as possible before the season starts. So
undoubtedly. I thank you for saying that and the kind words and everything. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got you. You got two purchases coming here. And I'll put them in the links of the description here for the podcast and on YouTube when we put it up. So make sure everybody can check it out.
Sounds good. Well, thank y'all for having me.
Of course. Yeah. We'll keep in touch.
For sure.
We appreciate you.
Have a good rest of your days.
You too. Can I ask you one question? Are you on your phone or on laptop?
I'm on a computer.
Okay. If you just, I'm going to press stop here. If if you could leave the tab open for like 5 minutes. Okay. Sometimes on Riverside, it's helpful if the guest leaves it on 5 minutes to finish like the upload.
All right, word.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Take care, man.